This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge in New Hampshire issued a preliminary block on the president's executive order on birthright citizenship. The ACLU suit includes all children who will be affected. ABC's Catherine Falder says the class action suit is separate from the Supreme Court's recent ruling limiting lower court injunctions.
The reality is here that with the Supreme Court ruling, we are entering an entirely different legal landscape. We haven't really seen the effects of that yet. So this is an interesting challenge to observe, especially as it works its way through the appeals court. Of course, as we've discussed, there's a 7-day period for the Trump administration to appeal, which I'm sure they will.
More than 120 are confirmed dead in Texas after last week's massive floods, and the search for more than 160 still missing continues. Svetlana Dali, the woman convicted of being a stowaway on a JFK to Paris flight in 2024, sentenced today to time served or 7 months. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A man died Saturday night in a firework accident. At approximately 9:55, deputies of the Sauk County Sheriff's Office responded to an address on Minnie Creek Road in the town of Laval for the report of a person injured by a firework. Upon arrival, deputies located Jeremiah McQuiston, 46, of Laval. McQuiston had sustained injuries to the upper part of his body, as well as a significant injury to his right wrist. Bystanders had already begun life-saving measures and were assisted by the responding deputies. Laval Fire, Laval First Responders, and Reedsburg EMS arrived shortly after and continued life-saving measures, which were unsuccessful, and Jeremiah McQuiston was pronounced dead at the scene. A 43-year-old Lone Rock man is facing multiple charges after leading law enforcement on a high-speed chase early Monday morning in Iowa County. According to the Iowa County Sheriff's Office, the incident began around 5:30 when a deputy observed a vehicle traveling 106 miles per hour in a 55-mile-per-hour zone on Highway 23 near Nelson Road in the town of Dodgeville. Despite the deputy activating emergency lights and sirens, the driver continued at a high rate of speed before finally coming to a stop near Gold Mine Road. The driver, identified as Tyson Edward Rogers, admitted to the excessive speed. A records check revealed that Rogers is currently out on felony bail in Sauk County and is also on probation and parole. The Department of Corrections was contacted and confirmed a hold would be placed. Tyson Rogers was taken into custody without incident and transported to the Iowa County Jail. He is facing charges including fleeing or eluding an officer and felony bail jumping. A court appearance is scheduled for August 12th. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana to complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight and tomorrow with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 60s, high tomorrow mid 80s. A storm or two still possible Saturday, then drying out for the weekend with a drop in humidity. Right now it's 76.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Next time, Todd continues live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, highlighting some great public educators and talking with filmmaker B.J. Hollers about his new documentary on the amazing game Coup. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today. It won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody, and happy Friday Eve. Welcome to the show. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name's Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the things that I love best about this job, and I'm truly thankful for these opportunities, is when I can talk with people across the aisle. I generally consider myself a Democrat, a centrist Democrat, if you will. And so it is a real humble privilege and honor to be joined by GOP State Representative Duke Tucker, proudly representing Wisconsin's 75th Assembly District, because he's introduced legislation that I've been talking about for so gosh darn long. It is democratic system reforms to help ensure that all of us truly have our voices represented in our government. Term limits. Representative Tucker, thank you so much for joining me and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I didn't know you're a Democrat, never heard of your show before. So it doesn't matter to me either way.
I love that. That's the important part. And yeah. I want to ask you, what you're relatively new to elected office, and you were elected to the assembly for the first time just last year. And out you come with what I'm going to call some banger legislation, term limits. What brought this to the fore? Why did you think this was so important for you to introduce?
Well, I think it's what constituents want to see. I mean, whether you're independent, Democrat, or Republican, the job of a representative is to do exactly what the title is. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'm pretty new to politics. I've really never thought about term limits a lot before. But I'll tell you, it just seemed like the right thing to do. I'm not a career politician type. And I think by the time 8 years goes by, I don't want to be the boiled frog. I'm going to be authentic, and I'm going to move on to bigger and better things when I'm done with this fish tank. So.
I love it. Well, I think that that's such an important viewpoint because, you know, we have so many elected officials that are in these offices forever, it seems like. So tell me a little bit about the legislation. What's the term limit that you're suggesting, and which offices are you suggesting should be subject to the term limits that you're recommending?
Well, it's pretty much all of our constitutional offices in the state, and, you know, state assembly, state senate, governor, DPI, all the state constitutional offices. It's really looking at an 8-year term. You know, like in the assembly, we have 2-year terms, so it'd be 4 terms of 2 years to equal 8 years. It doesn't kick you out of government at that point. You can still run for Senate and run for governor. And I guess I don't really have any people sign on to the bill other than Rod Krybek from the next district south of me here. And it's not real popular in our building, but that's okay. I don't mind.
This is what I found so surprising, Representative Tucker, is that so many elected officials give and make commitments to only run once or twice. So in effect, saying to their constituents, don't worry, I won't do this permanently. I don't think I have an entitlement to this job. Mm-hmm. And yet you've only gotten one co-sponsor of what I think is critical system reform legislation. Is this just rabid self-interest of your fellow legislators? What's preventing people from stepping up?
I'm going to tell you, first, I get questions in the building about my bill. And you got to remember, my bill isn't for term limits per se. It's to put it on the ballot so that the voters can determine whether there's term limits. And that's what I think is important. And I can make a good argument to not have term limits, too. We talk about knowledge and institutional knowledge. You don't want to lose that, those sort of things. Yeah, I get a good response to that sort of stuff. But I just feel like, you know, most people that go into politics, they're assertive. They got an opinion on things. We usually come from backgrounds where we've experienced different things. There's many committees within the building. For instance, I've been working at the telephone company for close to 30 years. I got some pretty good utility knowledge. And I didn't ask to be on that committee because I'm a stockholder at the moment, and I still work there full time. So I'm on other committees. But I've gone to the committee meetings, and yeah, they do a great job in that, but it doesn't take me 10 years of going to those committee meetings to understand what's going on in the utility world. So that doesn't work for me.
You've just hit on two things that I think are absolutely essential, Representative, and that is the urgency that term limits would create, right? Get in there, have your viewpoint, advocate for it, introduce legislation so that ultimately people are spending less time phoning donors and try to marshal up these funds that are needed for election and more time busy doing the people's business and forwarding legislation like you have. Representative, I also want to say, boy, you are chalking up some ticks in the credit column with me. You will not serve on the commission or the committee, excuse me, that deals with utilities because you're a stockholder. That sounds like you and I also agree that, boy, do I wish our U.S. representatives and our U.S. senators were bound by those same rules, that if you own an individual stock that is subject to your committee's jurisdiction, you got to get rid of it. I don't even like it in trusts. I don't even like it in any way, shape, or form because they have access to insider information. That just seems so ridiculous to me. Sounds like you agree, sir.
Well, I do, but you know, don't make it sound like I'm some big wealthy person. I mean, it's a small company and I'm a very minor stockholder. But the thing is, I mean, I didn't get into politics for money. And to be honest with you, they didn't even look at whether or not it was a paying job or not until I was asked that door knocking. And you know, for me, my wife and I, we've raised a couple daughters. They're very self-sufficient, independent. And we do all our own stuff. I mean, we've never hired anything out. We're just normal everyday Americans. And I think we need more of that. And that's one of the big reasons I decided to run is I just don't like it when people can't solve a problem without arguing. Mm. And yeah, it just gets old. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to retire in less than a year from the telephone company. And I'm not going to sit around my shop or rebuild engines and transmissions and cut firewood and wonder if I could have done more for my kids and grandkids in that generation, because we're letting them down with what we're leaving behind when it comes to how we treat each other and everything else. So,
Representative Tucker, again, putting effectively your dissatisfaction, not sitting there and complaining about it in church pews or bar stools, but getting in there and actually putting your so-called money where your mouth is, pardon the expression, and saying, yeah, I'll run, I'll stand up, I'll try to fix what I see as broken. I admire that. We're getting some folks on the text line. I wanted to share that with you. Steve from Milwaukee says, term limits should be reflected in our elections. We've got to make them fair. Term limits might not work when we've got these gosh darn lobbyists that stay around from year to year to year. That's Steve from Milwaukee. Bob from Sauk City saying we've got term limits. They're called elections. We need more informed people showing up to vote every cycle. Dana from La Crosse already affirming that idea from Bob. We need informed citizens showing up in much greater proportions in elections. I agree with all of that, and I also think we need more people like yourself, sir, that really are doing this because they see a need and they're stepping up. They want to see different outcomes from government, and they're willing to, again, step up and raise their hand and run for office.
Sir, give me all great arguments, but I got to hit one of those.
Please.
So, you know, we do have term limits in place. You know, in 2 years, they can throw me out of office, somebody else will be elected, and that person will probably do a better job than me serving my family, my community, and my district. If they beat me and I give my honest effort, they're probably better than me. But here's the thing. We can trust people to elect people in and out of office, but somehow we can't trust that same very group of people to determine whether or not it should be term limits. And that's the part that bugs me, because there's, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars put into the most recent Supreme Court case or election. And it's gotten to be where, you know, I think when I walk in the building and maybe I make comments at caucus or this or that, anybody that's new to anything will say things that are maybe seen as being, you know, maybe naive or whatever. But what they don't realize is when you got a guy like me that walks in the room, I also see indications of people being there too long.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes comments that are made that are so brazen that it just blows me away that you'll say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, and I just think it's important. And it's no offense to my colleagues, because I get along with everybody in the building pretty well. I mean, Democrats, Republicans alike, whether they're new, whether they've been there forever. But the thing is, we should all be able to have positions without getting nasty about it.
It's interesting because, you know, we've got term limits in the presidency. We have them in other states. And I think there's a mixed view of this. I also, having served in government at the city of Milwaukee level and at Milwaukee County for less than 8 years in both organizations, I know the institutional knowledge that I gained over that period of time. I know that there's value in that. I still am concerned about the power of incumbency in elections, I think, is vastly underrated by people. The name recognition, the fundraising power. And so one of the things, you know, when we think about these kinds of what I'm going to call system reforms, one of the things that I think is a goes along with term limits is talking about getting real about money in politics and these tens of millions of dollars you referenced in our last Supreme Court race. I don't care who I'm talking to. Nobody thinks that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants billionaires trying to buy elections. I would guess, Representative, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, how do you feel about meaningful campaign finance reforms or requiring more transparency or those kinds of similar, what I'm going to call system reform efforts?
I like the idea, and that'll be another bill that I'll come out with. And chances are that won't see the light of day either. So, but the thing is, I'm just kind of trying to like be true and honest with myself. And, you know, I don't mean to make this sound like I don't take it serious, but there's a lot of people in the building that tell you, oh, this is an honor of a lifetime to serve in the assembly or whatever. And yeah, it's an honor. It's not an honor of a lifetime. Honor of a lifetime is being a faithful husband and a good father and a community member. You don't have to be in the assembly to do that. And I really think that, I mean, it's an honor for me to be able to meet the bride, my bride, because I could still be living in the backseat of my 68 Charger if I hadn't met her. So, I mean, she gave me purpose, and, you know, here I am.
Folks, this is Representative Duke Tucker. We're discussing his legislation that he introduced back in mid-June, suggesting that the people of the state of Wisconsin should decide if their constitutional officers should be subject to a two-term limit. In other words, 4 years a term, two-term limit for a total of 8 years of service. Mr. Tucker isn't suggesting that the legislature decide, but that voters would decide whether or not this is the best thing for Wisconsin. Sir, please, when you introduce campaign finance reform legislation, if you want to talk about money in politics, you give us a call here at Civic Media, because we stand with you. And anybody who wants to talk honestly about the corrupting influence of money in politics, it's one of those things, you know, sir, I judge democracy by do the things that the vast majority of us agree about. And one of the things that the vast majority of Americans, no matter their partisan affiliation or their involvement in politics, that we agree about, no matter who polls, is that people want money out of politics. And yet, we're not seeing that happen in legislation. I think that points a bright light at these kinds of reforms to make government more responsive to regular folks like you and I. We're going to talk about some regular folk stuff because it is the summer, and my very special guest, Representative Tucker, knows something about one of my very, very favorite sports. We're going to discuss a little WIAA softball. Okay. If you've ever tried to hit a 70-mile-per-hour fast-pitch softball, it ain't easy. We'll discuss when we come back. Keep it locked. We've got Representative Tucker.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a 3-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Dear, I fear we're facing a problem. You love me no longer, I know, and maybe there is
no. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me, and happy Friday Eve. Whew. I'm always glad when we get to the nearly end of the week. We got a great guest with us this half hour. His name is Duke Tucker. He is the Wisconsin representative for the fighting 75th Assembly District, new to elected office, which I think is so important. Representative Tucker introduced in mid-June a bit of legislation that's only garnered one co-sponsor, to give the people of Wisconsin the right to decide whether or not constitutional officers should be subject to 2 4-year term limits. Folks, I implore you, get on the horn. Call your state senators and representatives. Tell them who Duke Tucker is. Tell them this is not a partisan issue. Tell them that the people of Wisconsin deserve the right to say to certain constitutional officers, two terms is just enough. The privilege and the fundraising advantage that's given to incumbents might be a little bit too much, that we need some fresh blood, some fresh ideas, and more voices like Mr. Tucker's in government. Sir, I wanted to talk with you about softball because you have been a WIAA softball umpire. You have been a coach, and it is a sport that I spent thousands of hours playing growing up. And I often say to people who have played hardball, step into a fast pitch softball batter's box and hit a rise ball, because it is one of the most difficult damn things to do. And folks, you cannot throw a baseball and have it rise. It's just not, the physics of it don't work, but you can do it with a softball. Tell us a little bit about your experience coaching women's softball and fast pitch, and your experience as an umpire and participating in the WIAA Athletic Association.
Well, I haven't had very many games this year due to the legislative session, but when our daughters started playing T-ball and moved into girls' fast pitch, I mean, just like a lot of families, we get involved. My wife coached volleyball for quite a number of years also in tone. And so, I mean, I started out with the kids when they were really young. We worked all the way through high school. It was a great experience. You learn a lot about kids. And for me, coaching, I'm pretty competitive too. But for me, it's about helping the kids learn how to work together and work towards a goal. Understand how to be self-sufficient, be respectful, and work hard. And we had a lot of success with our teams. And what I mean by that is we did good winning and loss wise too, because I don't like losing, but nobody does.
Nobody does.
But I'll tell you, the girls usually got on pretty darn good. And I think leadership from the top down is what brings that on. And I'm so proud to still be really close with a lot of the girls that I coached throughout the years. They're married, having babies, and it's great. WIAA-wise, I mean, I just do what I'm asked, you know, and I think being behind the plate, you get people that kind of chew on you for this and that, and sometimes you deserve it, and other times you don't, and I never acknowledge it, but I think about it a lot like being down in the legislature there, that you get tough questions when you go to hearings and so on and so forth. You don't have to show a lot of emotion about it, but there's times people grump about a call, and I know right away I made the right call. But other times, I'll be honest with you, that I go home, I got to read the rule book and see if I did that right. And if I got to do it better, it makes me a better umpire. And we got to do that in life too. I mean, you know, that's just how I look at things. And softball's been a great thing. And our oldest daughter went on into the Air Force, and she's an Air Vac medic and Air National Guard, been deployed a couple times. She played. And our youngest daughter, Olivia, pitched and played short up in Bemidji in northern Minnesota. And for me to stay in the game, I mean, following them, I thought, you know, I'll help out a little bit in practice here and there. And I started WIA umpiring, and it's been a great thing.
Couple of things there that I want to highlight. First of all, thank you, sir, for your service during Desert Shield and Desert Storm, a member of the Air Force. Thank you to your daughter for serving our country. You said sometimes after a game, you know, you call the balls and strikes, you make the calls as best you can, but you go home and you check yourself, you read the rule book, you humbly assess, hey, did I get that wrong? Can I do a little better? And you also said, sir, that that's a good way to approach life. And I couldn't agree with you more. The idea that we're always going to get it exactly right, that we've got nothing new to learn, I think is exactly the place that leads us into not ever being able to do any better, right? We need to humbly be able to say, I can always do a little better, and to be open to learning from one another and from the rule book, as it were, of life. I really appreciate that viewpoint. And I think if more of us officials approached life and their work as elected officials in that way, we'd all be doing so much better off.
I agree.
Sir, I want to give you an opportunity to address the voters of the 75th Assembly District and also the rest of the state of Wisconsin. What do you want people to know about your bill to give Wisconsinites the right to decide if we want term limits?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm out and about in the community a lot, especially in my hometown of Grantsburg here. And I think people want to send you down there and trust you to make good decisions. And there is a lot of pressure to vote for bills that are set them in support of keeping a majority and not so much just for your district. And while that's important, party politics are that, they should know that I go down there and fight for us, but I do it respectfully. And term limits is about that. And that is a 70-80% issue among voters. Democrats, independents, Republicans, and many bring people in to vote that haven't voted before. I actually worked in the House today on a cable TV problem, and the gal that was in there, she said, I've never voted in my life, but since I worked with you, she said, I voted for the first time ever. So that's kind of neat. I'm very proud of that.
That is what it's about, folks. Regular conversations with regular people talking about the change that they want to see in our government. My thanks to you, Representative Duke. Tucker for being just that kind of guy. You're welcome back here on these airwaves in this program anytime. So when we come back, it's your opportunity to sound off. What do you think about term limits and anything else that's been in the news? I'm going to share some of my beefs this week with all of you. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Get on the text and phone lines now. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force, known as Wisconsin Task Force 1, are currently on their way to Texas to assist with search efforts following devastating flooding in portions of the state. Five members of Wisconsin TF1, as well as three canines, left Wisconsin Tuesday morning from the Regional All-Climate Training Center located at Volk Field in Camp Douglas. A suburban Milwaukee businessman, former Navy SEAL, and political newcomer entered Wisconsin's race for governor today, likening himself to President Donald Trump and promising a Wisconsin First agenda. Bill Berrien, age 56, becomes the second Republican to announce for the 2026 contest. Berrien served 9 years as a Navy SEAL and has been owner and CEO of Pindell Global Precision and Liberty Precision Manufacturers of Precision Machine Components in New Berlin for the past 13 years. He is married and has two children. Berrien formed a political action committee earlier this year that has raised $1.2 million since April. Berrien joins Washington County Executive Josh Schumann as the only announced candidates for the race. Numerous other Republicans are considering a run for governor next year, including U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, who represents northern Wisconsin, State Senate President Mary Falsowski, and two-time losing U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde, a Madison businessman. This is Berrien's first race for office, and it's the first statewide campaign for both he and Schumann. Democratic Governor Tony Evers, age 73, has not yet said whether he will seek a third term, but indicated this week he will announce his decision this month. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Despite mediocre reviews, Dinosaurs prevailed as box office champions over the 4th of July weekend. As expected, Jurassic Franchise Rebirth, also known as Jurassic World Rebirth, was tops at the box office, pulling in $147 million domestically over the five-day weekend and $318 million worldwide. The film stars Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and some pretty impressive CGI dinosaurs. Coming in second place was the Brad Pitt-driven F1, which brought in $26 million and saw a somewhat respectable drop-off of 54% from the week before. How to Train Your Dragon came in third place with about $10 million in its fourth week of release. The family film is now at $224 million domestically, with well over a half a bill worldwide. Rounding out the top five were the Pixar film Elio with about $5 million Buku Dolores, and 28 years later came in fifth place with $4.6 million at the gate. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight and tomorrow with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 60s, high tomorrow mid-80s. A storm or two still possible Saturday, then drying out for the weekend with a drop in humidity. Right now it's 76.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, doing some recombobulating, an extended session with Dan Schaefer, who joins us at 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Everybody, welcome if you're just joining me. And a big, big thanks to Representative Duke Tucker, who joined me for the last half hour talking politics, talking term limits, talking a little softball. I appreciate his time. We got a lot of action on the text line, some debate about whether or not there should be term limits in the state of Wisconsin. In case you missed my conversation with the representative, he introduced legislation last month to give Wisconsin voters the right to choose whether or not certain constitutional officers here in the state would be limited to 2 4-year terms for a total of 8 years of service, including the governor, the LG, the AG, the secretary of state, the superintendent of public instruction, the treasurer, state senators, and state assembly members. I support these measures, and I do because I think getting new ideas is a really good thing. I think we need more of that, not less of that. More regular folks in elected offices. Less polished politicians that speak in gobbledygook and a bunch of gibberish. I think that's what we're missing in politics. So what do you think? Term limits a good thing? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also sound off on pretty much anything else that's been going on in the news. And there has been a lot over the last couple of weeks. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Whistler from Richland Center. Thanks for calling in. What do you say about term limits, sir?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Maggie. This dude's got it right. I believe in what he's looking for, but I'm not sure what part of the state he's from. I never caught that.
So he represents the 75th Assembly District. He's from Grantsburg, which is in the northern region. Let me get you the specific area. Why do you support term limits, Whistler?
Well, I think that, you know, as to the day holds calling our Republican representative the popcorn popper or whatever.
Yeah.
How long has he been there? You know, it's like, we need to change. And he's got the right idea. And you do too, Maggie. Getting new blood in. New blood in.
I really do. Thank you so much, Wizard. And the 75th Assembly District is in northern and western Wisconsin. It covers the cities of Amory and St. Croix Falls. It's got portions of Polk County and most of Burnett County. Excuse me. It's got the villages of Balsam Lake, Centuria, Clayton, Clearlake, Dresser, Frederick, Grantsburg, Luck, Milltown, and a bunch of other places up there. And it also has part of the village of Turtle Lake. It also contains the St. Croix Chippewa Reservation and the Wisconsin portion of Interstate Park. So again, Northwest Wisconsin. I really enjoyed talking to Representative Tucker, and I think it's these kinds of conversations that help us, again, build bridges, have the important conversation about democratic systems. And one of the things that I have been really upset about in the last couple of weeks is that, in my opinion, we seem to be fighting day-to-day battles. And yes, I think Donald Trump poses an existential threat to the middle class. I think he is the handmaiden of billionaires like Elon Musk. Why did he turn over the keys of government to a guy who's now going to try to start a political party to defeat it? I mean, none of this is good. But I don't think that's particularly a Democrat or Republican issue, though I do believe that Republicans are more beholden to megacorporation interests and the billionaire class. I think all you need to do is look at the votes on the big, brutal bill to understand that. That bill represents the single largest wealth transfer in the history of our country from the middle and working classes and poor folks to the richest people in the world. And that, of course, is on top of the $51 trillion that since 1981 has been taken from people that make less than $200,000 a year and been given to people that make more than $900,000 a year. That's the bottom 90%. That's us that make less than $200,000 a year to folks that make over $950,000 a year. $51 trillion from working people and poor folks in this country to the richest. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm really happy to be able to engage these conversations, but it's so important for us to not lose sight of the bigger picture. These democracy system reforms. We've had some great action on the text line. I want to share some of these with all of you. Jill from New Berlin says this. In 1295, medieval Florence overthrew the tyranny of their oligarchs and established term limits of 2 months. Once someone served, they were ineligible to run again for 3 years. The Republic lasted a long time, enough to foster the Renaissance. Food for thought and some perspective. 2 terms of 4 years is plenty. Thanks so much, Jill from New Berlin, texting in on the WAUK line. Ben from Richland Center says this, regarding term limits, it depends on the office. Here in Richland Center, our mayor is only a 2-year term. I don't want a new mayor every 2 years. Now, if it's an office that had a 4-year term, I wouldn't necessarily want that person to be replaced every 4 years either, because it takes about 2 years to get up to speed, especially when you're talking about U.S. senators. In general, I think it's harder to find people to run for certain offices because it's a pain, especially on the mayoral level. Yes, there is no question that being an elected chief executive officer, and that's what mayors and governors and county executives and presidents are, those are really hard jobs. Folks, what do you think about term limits? 855-752-4842. Chris from Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Hi. Yeah. So I understand why people like term limits, but my name is Chris, by the way. I oppose term limits because I believe that it takes away democratic choice from the voters. I do want to see more turnaround from, you know, there's these districts where people are constantly voted in and you keep saying to yourself, why are these people still here? I think that we can do better with that problem by creating a system where people have more choices. So like ranked choice voting. I think that that's a better reform than taking away my right or anyone else's right to vote for a politician who is, you know, in my mind, a good politician. You know, Bernie Sanders has been voted in several times, and that's because the people of Vermont really, really like Bernie Sanders. And if they like that politician, they should be allowed to keep voting him in or her in. And I just really oppose the idea of, you know, someone saying, well, this person served for 8 years, and they may have done a really, really good job, but if we're going to make a law that says we can't vote for them again.
So let's explore this a little bit, Chris, if you don't mind hanging on the line. First
absolutely,
of all, I could not agree with you more. I've got about 12 pages of democratic system reforms that I prepared for today's show, and we're going to do a special entire show on democratic system reforms, talking about things like fusion voting, ranked choice voting. Most people are so ticked off and feel so disengaged by this limit in choice, right? And I think most people are also incredibly ticked off by the money in politics. Here's one of the reasons that I support term limits. One, I truly believe that there is the next Bernie Sanders in Vermont. But that person gets lambasted by the Democratic Party if they were to try to run against Bernie in a primary. He is not the, he doesn't have an exclusive right to those ideas. To me, one of the best arguments against term limits is institutional knowledge, right? And being able to understand how the system works, legislative processes, all that stuff. It's not that these individual politicians have, again, a monopoly on the good ideas. And I think that the advantages of incumbency in a democratic system, small d, where money is speech, is really messed up. It's not actually a free and open competition of ideas, because the parties will attempt to enforce their preferred candidates through the fundraising mechanisms in primaries. So voters, I think it's an illusion of choice. In other words, without term limits, it makes you feel like you've got a choice. But until we do something about the corrosive effect of lobbyists and money in politics, I think it's an illusion. And I think term limits are one of the most easily available mechanisms to try to get some new blood and people. Maybe they're new people with some of the same ideas, but they're differently expressed. That's my concern with it. Oh crap, we lost Chris on the phone. Chris, if you want to call up, he was texting us. Ah, my phone cut off. That to me is one of the big challenges here, is I don't want voters to feel like they've got the illusion of choice. So when I think about democratic reforms, money in politics is one of the big ones. But again, I think term limits, just like money in politics, Representative Tucker mentioned that over 80% of all voters will support term limits. That's a very consistent polling number. That is the percentage that support getting money out of politics. And yet, we don't see term limits enacted, and we have a Supreme Court that has told us we constitutionally somehow are completely unable to legislate money in politics. At the very minimum, we should be able to eliminate dark money. In other words, if the Supreme Court is going to tell us that money is speech, shouldn't we at least be able to require disclosure of who contributed to what candidate and not hide behind, oh, this was soft money through a 501c4. Oh, it's from this business and we don't know who owns that. That is ridiculous. It is corrupting, and it makes elected officials accountable to donors as opposed to voters. And again, incumbency plus the two-party system plus the money in politics is what's making this quite an extraordinary problem in this moment. Folks, if you want to get your two cents in like Chris just did, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Dana from La Crosse, thanks so much for participating on the text line. She says this: if we had term limits, we wouldn't have great legislators like Bernie Sanders, whom Chris mentioned, like Joe Biden, like Tammy Baldwin. I want experience in my legislators. There's a couple things that I want to say about this. One, I do think experience matters. But none of these people, again, have the monopoly on the good ideas. And by the way, if you've never seen the inner workings of an elected official's office, I'll tell you who's really central to a lot of these great ideas, and it's their staff. Folks, I'm going to have some of my biggest peeves of the last week coming up next for our last segment. You're not going to want to miss that. I haven't sounded off on this program in a little while. So help me keep my hair from lighting on fire as we roll into the last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show on this Friday Eve, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbro, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people who voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Give it to you, because there's been a few things that have been ticking me off over the last couple of weeks, especially in the last few news cycles. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to get in your 2 cents in our last segment of the show, 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarters worth, 855-752-4842. We've been talking about term limits and how to make democracy work better for regular people. Dan from Wausau says this: if one politician is corrupted and then they endorse the next person, if we've got term limits, couldn't they be corrupted as well? Yeah. But on average, over time, I actually think term limits are less likely to produce corruption, though that's not perfect, of course. The big problem that we've got is the money in the politics. Now, there are a few things that have been in the news that have, again, really ticked me off over the last few days and a couple of weeks. And I'm going to share them with you. And I'm going to relate it all back to term limits and what exactly we're talking about here. Because, again, always remember, there is a through line between all these little bits of news that you see every day. Things seem not connected, but they really are part of one big whole. And here is the thing. We have an incredibly expensive and frustrating version of democracy here in this country. Most of us don't feel confident about it. And what's making us ill-confident about it is the fact that the things that the vast majority of us agree upon, we don't see being enacted into law. And what we see is politicians that capitalize on the things that divide us instead of looking to enact laws and policies, again, that the vast majority of us agree on. So here are the things that have been in the news in the last 48 hours that have really gotten my goat. They have built a concentration camp in Florida. And make no mistake, it's a concentration camp. There is planned to be 5,000 beds to hold people who were picked up, who are not here legally. But again, remember, once here illegally more than 6 months, there is no pathway to citizenship. There is no pathway to get here legally. So once you're here illegally, that's you. So 5,000 beds in a concentration camp in the swamps of Florida with temperatures over 100 degrees, 5,000 beds where people that got picked up for parking tickets are being put. They can't call their lawyers. Folks are reporting bugs the size of thumbs, swarms of mosquitoes. The lights are on 24 hours a day. There's no clocks. And it's either over 100 degrees or the air conditioning is blowing so much and so cold that people are freezing at night. Food is served when it is served with worms. The toilets sometimes don't flush. They don't have access to toothbrushes or regular bathing. The electricity is spotty. There's been floods. Why did they build this concentration camp in Florida? With millions of Floridian taxpayer dollars to do what? Hold federally detained persons. That should be the federal government's job. That's been going on. Derek Van Orten in the last couple of days has claimed credit where none is due. This man has no shame. Specifically, has claimed credit for additional money is coming in to help fund Wisconsin's Medicaid, which is rich considering that was triggered by Governor Evers signing the budget, which had nothing to do with Derek Van Orten at all. State budget, federal Medicaid dollars. And it's especially rich and completely hypocritical and totally ridiculous when Derek Van Orten voted for the big brutal bill, which will end up shutting down hospitals in his district and leaving people with less health care and more expensive health care where they can even get it. And then this, Ron Johnson, who for weeks railed against the big brutal bill and said that there was absolutely nothing, not a thing on the planet that could ever get him to vote against it because it exploded the deficit by trillions of dollars. In an interview with a local journalist, when asked why he voted for it, said that if you set aside the $4.5 trillion in tax cuts for mega corporations, billionaires, and 100 millionaires, quote, we actually did reduce the deficit. Senator Johnson, Wisconsin deserves better. That's not how math works. And Tom Tiffany.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Kavanaugh! Blame Kavanaugh!
Oh, yes. Tom Tiffany, let's just blame Canada. Instead of talking meaningfully about climate change for the haziness that we see in our Wisconsin skies because of Canadian wildfires. I sent a letter to that effect to the Canadian ambassador. What does all of this have in common? What does the fact that Representative Tucker has only gotten one co-sponsor for his term limit bill indicate? And that is, that our elected officials lack courage. These people are cowards who say that they believe in one thing and then do exactly the opposite. We deserve better, Wisconsin. We deserve better as Americans. That's going to do it for me today. Tune in tomorrow. I got Jim Santel with me. We're going to be talking about what the Supreme Court did this term in the United States and what you should know about it. Keep it locked.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The State Department expected to notify employees in a letter tonight that the department is officially moving to implement a targeted reduction in domestic workforce. It follows the Supreme Court's ruling this week allowing President Trump to implement his executive order for mass layoffs of federal workers as the case works its way through the lower courts. Crews continue to search for the 160 people missing in Texas Hill Country after the July 4th flash floods. 120 still were confirmed dead earlier. ABC's Trevor Ault is in Kerr County, where residents are demanding answers about the warning alerts that didn't go out sooner.
Our affiliate KSAT obtaining recordings of a first responder at 4:22 a.m. July 4th asking an emergency alert be sent out to Kerr County residents, but the dispatcher was hesitant. But that code red, which pushes an alert to cell phones, wasn't sent out for another 90 minutes.
This is ABC News.